Gracious Heavenly Father, above, we are very much, Lord, honored to be here this morning as the people of God. And we are thankful, Father, that we have this revelation of our one and only living God, who is our Father, who loves us. And we have such a great relationship. And being able, Lord, to walk with you and talk with you, to be able to feast with you, Lord. And we are thankful, Father, for this blessing. All because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We bless His holy name. We thank you this morning, everyone, as you approach thy word, that you bless us and bring things to our remembrance, Lord, of the things that are important in our life as a child of God. That, Lord, each and every one of us will be obedient to the very word of God's truth. We ask for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning, let's go to the book of Malachi chapter 2. A lot of scripture to turn to, more or less that than Malachi chapter 2. Verse 17. Behold, Malachi chapter 2, verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delight in them, where is the God of judgment? This morning I want to bring back the thought again, the memory to you of God's indictment. The four indictments that God indicted the children of Israel. And I believe that what God spoke of here in the book of Malachi speaks also to each and every one of us. And we need to remember, you have wearied the Lord. I wonder how many of us at times do that. Sometimes even in this ministry, you know, the things that I'm doing, sometimes there's a lot of weariness. There's a burdens and cross to carry. And there's a lot of things sometimes you feel, so weary in life. Because of the things that were going on in the church, things that were going on in the ministry or in the life of believers. But let us go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. For I am the Lord, I change not. This thing we need to understand. God said here he was wearied with the children of Israel. And he reminded them he is a God that he doesn't change. It's just like what we see in Hebrew. Chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God never changes His mind about His own word. What He had set out to do, He will fulfill it. When He called Abraham as His chosen one, in whom He will bring forth a nation. And when He promised, whatever He promised to Abraham, He will fulfill it. He will never change. Even He knew that from the beginning of the foundation of the world, that the children of Abraham, His descendant, they will be a rebellious people. They would forsake Him. They would change their mind about Yahweh. But God will never change. He will bring things and restore things, redeem things, renovate, regenerate, whatever he has to do to bring forth something which He had already ordained before the foundation of the world. And those things that He had promised, what He would never change. And He will still deal with Israel according to that which they were looking for. Even as the church under the New Testament, the grace of God given us, He still dealt with us in the same manner that was promised in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. And even as He said here, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. You know, if God would have consumed all the sons of Jacob, every one of them consumed all, what do you think happened? He'll break His form, He wouldn't. But He changed not. You know how stubborn they really were? But He still maintained, what we say, God maintained His own composure. You know, sometimes when we get upset, we get all, you know what I mean, we do crazy things, we just yell or shout, just, oh my. But God, He kept His word. And that is one thing we should learn to appreciate. I'm the Lord, I change not. What's your name? When Moses asked Him, He says, I am that I am. I'm the same. Will always be the same God. Yahweh. No wonder the Bible says about Jesus, the same yesterday, today and forever. And even Yahweh, the Almighty Spirit, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is, I am. You know what I mean by I am? What you see me now, today, like God said, you see me, whatever I said, tomorrow, 1,000 years later, I will still keep the same, I will still be the same God, and I will never change. How wonderful is that name of our Lord? Here in this first indictment, sad to say, isn't it? In chapter 2, verse 17, you have wearied the Lord with your words. And most of the time when we do things about it, it's not just our action. We know that action speaks louder than words, isn't it? But our words, many times we say a lot of things and they're not right. Things against God, things against His word, things that weary God or grieve the Lord. Yet you have said, wherein have we wearied Him? When you say everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of God, and He delighted in them, and that's what you have wearied me. Today we see in the society, I don't know, sometimes because we are also human, and we have certain kind of a carnal feeling at times too, because you know what? That's what Paul talked about, saying, oh, I die daily to this body. To this carnality, to this self. We are very rebellious people. When somebody tells you the truth, you get upset. And you know what you do to threaten? You know what I mean? I always remember, you know, when I always talk about this, you know, I always remember because, you know, I was a young fella, I was a teenager at one time. I loved to read comics. You know, when I was a teenager, those times when I was in my teen, in secondary school, I was a nutcase over Superman, the Fantastic Four, the Hulk, the war comics, and I was so nuts about this. And I always remember this character, the Hulk. Yeah? What was his name? I can't remember his name when he was a doctor. That's a long time ago. So I don't remember now because I'm no longer a teen. What was he? Was Dr. somebody? Dr.?
David Banner.
David Banner. So when he got irritated, he said, he remembers, he's still a teen. And he said, you know, don't make me angry. You don't want to see me when I'm angry, you know? So, you know what I mean? That is that frustration. You know, that weariness. The people irritate him. And then he grew into a house, the big size fellow. You know, how the thing is. You see, we even though we are Christian, if we do not watch our spirit, Paul says, I put his old man to death every day. I don't want it to surface. I bury it. I die every day. This carnality dies. Because God has made us a new creation. So if we are a new creation, how come the old creation still survive in us? Huh? So you know, we see today now, we look at a recent case in the newspaper about this Australian citizen, what do you call, he's a Vietnamese, I believe, huh? New Yen. Alright, he's a drug peddler. You know, he came over to Singapore and he was found with some drug on his body, and so he was caught, and so he was sentenced to death. And then, right, and of course, Australian, there are those politicians, they would try to say, oh no, give him a chance, and oh, don't send him to death, and so forth, and so they say all kinds of bad things about the Singaporean. Now, when you read about this in the newspaper, when you heard about it on the news media, what do you say? What do you think? Or maybe you see some bad guys. He did a lot of bad things in the newspaper, you know. What do you automatically say? And then you're caught by the police. What do you say? He deserved it. Nobody will automatically say he deserved it. Huh? Isn't that right? Or you see somebody on the road and you bash up somebody and then another group of them came along, pounce on him, bash him in the same way. What would you think? Oh, he deserved it. Well, what tendency is that he deserved it? He deserved it. There is always this that, you know, our mind is such that we are always based on justice. He did this, therefore he deserved this. Isn't it so? So, here we have, there are people who says, oh no, you know, let him go. Well, what's up? Don't bash him up. Come on, let him go. Pity on him, you know. So do you think that there is justice when the law of Singapore said, if you bring in so many grams, so many whatever into Singapore that is illegal, and you know that there is a law that says that if you bring this in, you will be hanged. Capital punishment. And you know about this law. You break it, you pay for it. I mean, all these laws are based on, well, the government of the country, that's true. But that is also based on the Word of God in many instances in this life. I mean, it's not like the community is okay now. If you worship, you are caught, I cut off your head. That is not the Lord of God in the first place. It's the Lord of the land. So if we worship in the country, when they say you are not allowed to worship, you are caught up with our heads. So well, there's justice to the land. There's justice to the government. That's the law. Huh? Only God will judge them in return. But we shouldn't be offended about Christians who died in communist land. Who are being caught and being punished, thrown into prison or whatever. Is that alright? Huh? But we should be glad that every soul that died because they love God and they want to fellowship, want to worship, even if the land does not allow it, you do it in secret until you are caught. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Huh? For one moment you are here, the next moment when you pass away, you are with the Lord Jesus Christ. So why would other Christians look at condition like that and begin to condemn and say things about the country? What do you see? It's a country. They run the way they want it, and there's no power on earth given among any of these nations if it wasn't given by God to begin with. Even though how evil the law may appear to be, how unreasonable the law may appear to be. That's why here we are in Singapore, we are privileged to have this fellowship. The freedom here to worship God. In many countries you are not allowed. Even in Vietnam, even in China today, in interior, you are being watched. So also in Arabic country, Islamic country, you can't. That's the law. You see? Yeah, but we don't call those evil things that the law do as good. We don't. It is evil all right. Huh? But when you see somebody did a wrong thing, a crime and whatever it is, and you say it is good, and something is wrong with you. Today we have That's the natural law out there in the world. The fiscal law, the governmental law, political law, whatever. But here we have, as a church, there is the law of God. And the church of God, so-called church of God in the world today, the general church, what has happened to the general church? They have let down the bar, and they have bring in teachings, they have bring in things, and consider those things good. Now, we are living in this last part. We're not talking about in the days of the reformations or, you know, when the church came out and God began to bring back the teaching, the truth to them a little at a time. We know they brought in like the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, which is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, three gods in one God, and three persons in one God, whatever they want to explain it, and that thing is from hell.
And devil said, if you don't believe in the Trinity, you don't have eternal life.
Huh?
Oh, baptize a baby. But the baby knows nothing about the Lord Jesus. You baptize a baby. A baptism is an ordinance in which somebody confesses that he knows the Lord Jesus. That he is the Savior. And the one who confesses it says, I'm a sinner. I repent. And I want to be baptized and have my sins cleansed away. A baby can't do that. Of course, the church did not say this doctrine is good, but they practice it. And we know that that is evil. We cannot say that is good. But that's all this doctrine. But today, do you know how far these churches has gone? What's going on in Pentecostalism? What's going on in Charismaticism? They allow gay marriage. You think about it, that a pastor can stand in the church, and the congregations are there, and here comes the bride and the bridegroom, and both of them is a male. They are male. Or a two women come in front here to be married, lesbian. Homosexual marriage. And the pastor will pronounce you wife and wife. Husband and husband. Well, how do you pronounce that thing? They allow this kind of marriage to go on. And they said it's good, it's okay. You know, they weary the Lord. And you have homosexual pastors. And even found that they molest children. They are pedophiles. What about Archbishop? They don't even believe in the Virgin Mary. I mean, they don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Do you know that? How can you be a preacher and you don't even believe in the virgin birth of Christ? And the people in the congregation say, oh, it's good. And all this organization, they ordain such a man, is good. These are evil things. And they say, it is good. You think about it. Now, in the recent paper, you know, was it in Korea? Well, I can't remember what's the case about that. That transsexual. Malaysia. The man became a woman. Some church members agree with that. It's okay. Some do not. Something gone wrong somewhere, you know. We know something is wrong with their body. But you have the man that changed his sex into a woman. I don't know. That's really, how could people just pass and go and marry that couple? If a person had this feeling about, you know, when I was a little boy, I want to be like a girl. Yeah, parents got to deal with these things real quick. And ever that you have this feeling, if you want to be a child of God, we have to deal with it in prayer, maintain that you are a man, you always have to be a man. You cannot. The devil will want to twist you to a place that you will have your sex changed. And you call yourself a girl. Isn't it terrible? Changing yourself, you know, with a boy's name, maybe Christopher to Christina. Something like that. But you're still a boy. You're still a male. You have well in me. Everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of God. And he delights in them. That's one thing. But here, of course, in our entire message, we have all these things that is also going on. They never end. Every time, what God ever do, whatever God have done, perform something, the devil will come around, imitate, twist, you know, and what we call change, and twist the mind of people, manipulate. It's all up here in the mind. It's in the battlefield. Do you realize that? To me, you do the thing that is contrary to the Word of God. You know how powerful the mind is? People are psychic themselves, a psycho, they call it psycho themselves, you know. Like running a race. They know that they're not able to make it, but they say, I'll try my best, and you already psycho yourself. And then you know, you think you buff up and this and then. Then you find that this guy can even really break the record. Or even hit and end homes in the first place. I have done it before, it is just beyond my mind. Things I've never done before, I did it. I just wonder, whoa. You see, it's all in the mind. And you let the devil come into your mind and make it into a battlefield, especially with the word of God. Don't let him do that, just like he did to Eve. Now he takes one word broken, and you find yourself in trouble. Is that right? Isaiah chapter 5. Let's see what he says here in Isaiah chapter 5. Verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudence in their own sight. The carnality of human being, as long as we are not subjected to the Spirit of God, we will be always be in the trap, in the bondage. And that's why we see in the today, as you like it or not, the world is not coming to a good place where what we see with our eyes is good for us. Now you think back about it, you go back to 1970s, 60s. You don't have pleasure of the eyes. If you know what I'm talking about, you have, every one of us has five senses. Sight is a sense. Is that right? Sight gives pleasure. Do you know that, don't you? Right? Well, you go up to a beautiful garden. Wow, you see the beautiful rose. Wow, purple rose, black rose. Do you know what I mean? It's a sight for pleasure. You know what I'm talking about, huh? Or you go to a nice little jungle area where you see all this water cascading down, yeah? And the green surrounding is so lush, you know, oh my. Beautiful. They say, it's a sight for sore eyes, something like that. And you just enjoy the beauty. But today, everywhere you go, out in the streets, to a shopping mall, there's a lot of sight for sore eye, and really sore. Your eyes are sore. You see all kinds of fashions on being put on by some girls and women, and even men. They dress so well. I don't know, look at their caveman or cavewoman from another era or something. Huh? You know, when you are born as a baby, I remember the most mother, when you have a born newborn baby, the one place you want to cover up is your navel, the baby's navel. Because here we say, come to you, huh? Yeah? You say, might get cold, because the wind is cool, and then the air, cool air, will go in through the navel or something like that. I don't know. So you always come, even so, even though when you sleep at night, when it's cool, if you have your blouse or your pajama shirt, if you expose the navel without covering, you find it's kind of cold. It's there. But today, look at all. Look at what's on the streets. Expose the belly. And sometimes the belly button has all kinds of funny gadgets on it. I know what gadgets on it. All those pins and all, I don't know what on earth they put through it. And all those Cavalli, people who carry the Cavalli on, you know, during the Thai Pusam, sticks or metal pieces through their cheek or through their tongues and all this, through their nose. And they do it with all this pin and stack, you know, and stuck into in their belly button, some on their nose, some on their ears, and all this. You know how hideous the Israel is. And this is the condition that we are living in today. Things that are no good, they call it all sweet. Bitter things, they are quite sweet. Sweet things, they are quite little. And these are the signs of the time that we live in. John, 3 John 1:11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. So when God give us orders to do what is right, would we want to oppose God? And the more that we approach the coming of the Lord, you know, I don't know when Christ is going to come, but I'm getting very weary myself for waiting to sort of waiting, you know, when Lord you're going to come. But we are seeing things that are being now, the whole world, the nations of the world are shaking. With all these pandemic things that might be of bird flu and whatever. And then you have all the reason, hurricane, typhoon, and all this, the earthquake. And now Israel is waking up. The land, they got to be people that realize how important that land that God had given them is, really is. God had allowed the Gentiles to trot down the city for so many years now. And what happened? Is this going to continue? And the land of Israel that they have now, oh my, just a fraction of what they have. Look into the book of the Bible and see how big the land of Israel is supposed to be. It stretched further east and further down and further off. Well, my estimate of what they have today is maybe about 15%, you know. Or 20% at the most, maybe. And they keep giving back the land. I don't believe that takes too long before the Lord could come anyway. Things got to change. Huh? But don't do that which is evil. Those that do evil have not seen God. Have not seen means, well, we don't talk about seeing God with our eyes. That have not seen God means they do not have God. They do not have the revelation of God. They have not known Him. Have not seen means they have not realized who really God is. Now, there are a lot of Christians that go to church not knowing who God really is. Say, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, but they do not know Him. I mean, just the same, a lot of people, they say they are Muslim, but they are not practicing Muslim. There are those that say they are Buddhist, but they are not practicing Buddhist. So there are a lot of Christians that are not practicing Christian. Either there is the life, or there is no life in that. Either your faith is real to you, or it is not. Right? So let us not do what is evil in the eyes of God, as you say, I want revenge. I want justice. How many times we have lied? And those things are evil too. How many times have we cheated? Those things are evil also. One time, that's many years ago, I went to a grocery store and I bought something. In mental calculation, I know what it was, how much was the few things. You know? So when I'm in pay, actually I miscalculated it. But the man, the store owner, actually charged me right. So when I took the money, I walked down the road and I calculated again. Oh, he are giving me 20 cents extra. You know? They're giving me 20 cents extra. So I'm still singing that I was right. So I went back to him. I said, you're giving me 20 cents extra. So I give him back the 20 cents.
Then he looked at me. And I said, are you sure? Then he calculated me. And actually he was correct. Then he gave me back the 20 cents again. And then he told me, you're so sure. You come back and give me 20 cents. You know, so I was kind of embarrassed a little bit, you know. Over 20 cents maybe, you know. But, I mean, we try to be honest in every way we can. Not to lie, not to cheat, not to do everything that which is not right anyway. Proverbs 1, 22. I remember that one time back when I was in the States, I told you this before. When I was in California, I was with this family when I was robbed. And Mark, and then I stayed with this family. So, the brother took me down to the city. I do some shopping, and then he said, Bergan, you love ice cream? I said, yeah, we'll buy some ice cream. Yeah, we'll buy some. Then we went to the store, bought a whole lot of grocery. So, he paid the grocery, checkout counter, then go into the car, send the car, drive the car, and then look at the list of the thing that he had bought, and then try to mentally look at the amount where it's right. So I say, you're driving with that list. So I say, what are you looking at? He said, oh, I'm just want to make sure that the total amount is correct. I said, what then if it's wrong? He said, well, then if it's wrong, then if he undercharged me, I'll go back and pay. He said. I said, well, you're already on the roads, you know, moving, then you go around all this. What happened if he overcharged you? Oh, that's okay. You know? And, of course, there's one or two things. If you buy something, want to check it immediately after you come out. Don't, you know? And if you think that the money is going to be a loss or a gain, and if you don't want to check, then forget it. You won't know. If he overcharged you, that's it. That's your problem. If he undercharged you, also that is his problem. Of course, you don't bother to check. You trust that everything is correct. But sometimes the tendency is that we wanted to check. How many of you check your grocery list, whether the price is right? Huh? Do you? Especially when it's a lot of amount. Only thing so, if you bought maybe $200-$300, you don't, well, maybe $100 plus, you want to show whether it's right or wrong, don't you? Sure you do. No. My goodness, very good. If you don't, that's good. That's good. So that you don't, you have a peace of mind. If he charge you more than $10 extra, you lost $10, that's okay. If he give you a $10, undercharge you $10, you gain, that's okay. So you have a peace of mind. But I can tell you one thing, many of these departmental stores, the grocery, supermarket, most of the time tendency is they overcharge you. You see? And I have been overcharged a few times. And of course, maybe it's 20 cents, we don't bother to see the long queue to claim 20 cents. But if it's a few dollars, I say, hey, sure, you're not going to see the supervisor right inside. You know? Understand? But when you see that you have undercharged you, be honest enough and say, hey, you know, you undercharged me. You're willing to pay. Would you do that? We want to seek for loss, but we do not want to give back the gain. Proverbs 1:22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity and the scorner delights in their scorning? You know, here simple one means not people who are living a simple life. No, it means here silly one. Foolish one. Huh? People who are just who just do stupid things. Huh? How long will you simple ones, the silly ones, you people are, will you love silliness or simplicity and the scorn and delight in the scorn? You know, as a Christian, God has given us wisdom. You believe that? Are you wise? You know, the Bible says be wise as a serpent, be gentle as a dove, and so on, you know. And I believe that once you are born again, the Spirit of, or the virtue of Christ is also in you. Because if the Holy Spirit is in you, that virtue is in you. Huh? Once, I have no virtue. Now, I have virtue. Then you should be able to learn to walk in that virtuous spirit that God has given you. So the same thing with wisdom. So we make the discern what is right and wrong, what is good and evil and so forth. And don't go and contend for things that are evil and say those things are okay. Those things are not okay. Gay marriage is not okay. A pastor who is a gay is not okay. Transsexual marriage is not okay. Anyone to say Brother Branham is the absolute, he also not okay. And if you know someone who says Brother Branham is the absolute, and he told the absolute, you're going to tell the person, no, that's wrong. You cannot tell him, it's okay. You can tell him, you have to tell him, it is wrong. Because there is only one absolute. And if he doesn't agree with you, then you can do a thing. He has the right to believe whatever he wants, but he needs to know that is wrong. You know what? Martin Luther, Zwingli, all those reformers, if they were alive today, and they see what those churches, they came out of Catholicism, going back to Roman Catholicism, you know what they were? They were probably faint. They fought so hard for it. For the truth of this Bible, standing for this faith, for this foundation, and yet now the churches are going back to the mother. Going back to the Catholic Church. Oh, those things are supposed to be okay. No, they are not okay. All these are rubbish. Huh? I've seen all kinds of things that the whole system has done. Read about it. The Catholic Church have murdered 68 million people. Not just Christian. Anybody. 1,500 years, they have killed 68 million people. And they can go back to Rome and say, it's okay. Hey, that's the trick of the devil. Wonder God said, you have wearied me. You churches have wearied me. What a Pentecostal church done. When God had poured out His Holy Spirit upon them in the early 20th century, to be a blessing to the people. Less than 50 years, it became such a mess. And all the midst of that movement came for a prophet. They called us to come out of all this tradition. Come out of all these errors. All this bondage. All this evil. Do you know this evil? They've all this doctrine put upon the people believing the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. If you don't believe Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Trinity, you have no eternal life. Everybody believed that there was the three gods. That is evil, like it or not. No wonder we need to come out of it completely and make a stand for what we believe is the truth. And yet, when we come back to the Word with the message, and another spirit takes over. Do you know about lying spirits? How powerful a lying spirit really is? Remember, God asked the question, who will go for me? And they are 800 believed ones. And one of the angels says, oh, let me go. And I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of this prophet. And he will make you even to believe what you think is right in your own eyes. Let us not be foolish and silly. Go back to Malachi. Chapter 2 verse 17, the last part. Why is the God of judgment? Yeah. That's why we are people are always seeking for revenge. Things go wrong with you or with somebody and you always feel upset and say, oh, well, God, wasn't God doing anything? God should be doing something. Sometimes God is doing something and you don't even know what God is doing. That's the problem. Malachi 3. We read verse 7. We don't have to read that. Verse 7 will do. Even from the days of your father, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me and I will return unto you, said the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Here is the the other indictment. These are God's ordinances now. The first indictment which we already given to you is that don't call anything, any evildoer as good. Anything that is evil, good. And don't delight in all these things. You know, sometimes when you rebuke somebody who holds to evil doctrine, false doctrine, deception, you will find yourself in a position where you are become very unlikable. Don't you think so? And people will twist and pass rumors about you. That's a lie. But they call Jesus. What did they say about Jesus Christ? They call him a blasphemer. You know, I believe the Pharisees and those religious group will go around passing on him. You know, he blasphemed. Yeah. Yes. And do you know that he was born illegitimate? And he said that, you know, you've got to drink his blood and eat his flesh. Or else you don't have eternal life. And he had the power to build that temple. If he torn it down in 3 days, he can bring it up. And whatever thing that they will say, twist and turn and whatever misinterpretation here and there. Huh? And Jesus says, are you offended because I told you the truth? And offense will always come when truth comes. You offend because you know what? You find yourself, you are wrong, that's why he offended you. If you have the truth and the truth comes to you, you will not be offended. Offend is to tell you, look, these things that you hold on is not right with the word of God. It is an evil thing in the eyes of God. You need to change. What did the Bible say? Repent. The Bible says you are a sinner. Wow, you know what? You ever witnessed to people about the Lord Jesus Christ and told them that hey, you are a sinner? He said, what are you telling me? I'm a sinner. What are you talking about? You know what I mean? They don't want to be called sinners. And they turn on you. You need to repent and turn to God. You can't save yourself. And then be sarcastic to which God? What religion? Now we need to understand this thing, huh? There will always be offense when it comes. That's why the Bible says judgment begins in the house of God. If judgment begins in the house of God right now, that's what the Bible says. What about those outside? It's better to have a judgment quickly so that we can correct ourselves and enter in rather than without judgment before ourselves standing before the white throne judgment. And that's why we should be very thankful God has given us this gospel. Some people, I have people telling me, I will believe in Jesus Christ when I grow old. Maybe just before I die. You know what the reason for that? They want to enjoy their life. And then ask me they want to die, then say, I will believe in Jesus so I can go to heaven also. Let me enjoy my life. You know why that's a foolish thing? Because first of all, you don't know when you're going to go. You've been knocked down by a car. Huh? Think about it. I mean, Zal was telling me what Janice witnessed in the accident. This motorcycle was going so fast, and you know, and she was at a bus stop. The motorcyclist turned ahead, looked at her or something, and then it smashed into the rail of the bus and died. Just like that. Just like that. You read a paper, how many people die in an accident? You don't know when you're going to die. Like a man yesterday in the report in the paper, was 52 years old. Die hard, I die all day in the traffic. Huh? Even taxi driver, man, they park their car and they die on the roadside. How do you know when you're going to die? Wait. Until I'm going to die, before I'm going to die, I'll be a Christian. Do you know what? God says, today, you will hear my voice. I don't know your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Today, because God said, I am
Not I will be. I am.
Tomorrow you do not know what's going to happen.
God is always in the present and you are always in the present. You're not going to be tomorrow for you, for you know that, don't you? You don't even know. You might just walk down the staircase and one trip, you fall forward. You hit your head on the floor, you break your neck. That's it. You might not realize it. Don't you know? You might not know. When I was young, my other brothers, he's not here. He went across the road, he fell into the rain. It's a very deep rain. He fell in, he hit the curb of the rain, of the drain, the side of, you know, of the drain was sharp. He hit his eye, just around the eyebrow. And he came back. It was night. I was sitting there in the living room, I saw him coming back. He was there was blood, his whole body was so bloody, and he was holding his eyes and the eye, and I looked, I thought his eye was gone. I thought his eyes had popped. It's all red, you know, big cut. I said, what happened? Look. I thought I was calling my mom. I thought he's lost his eye. You never know anything can happen. If you hit, and then perhaps you fall backwards, snap your neck, whatever. Life could have died when I was mug. When the feet came down on my face, my nose, it could have gone, and I'll be dead, just right there. But if today I know the gospel, today I know the Lord, it's the beginning of a new life, beginning of wisdom, beginning of knowledge. And each passing day, now I'm a Christian since when I was 12 years old. I'm 57 now, 45 years of knowledge in the Word. 45 years of walking in the light of God's Word. 45 years growing in His grace. Why do I want to wait? Think about it. A life with Christ is an adventurous life, you know that? Do you know it's an adventurous life? Oh, you cannot do this! You cannot do that! Oh, that's what a challenge is! The lion come! Fight! He said, people give in to the lion and they eat it up by lust. That's why it is. God give us a new life. Here it is now. Don't go away from God's ordinance. The first ordinance, the second indictment. Now we're talking about water baptism now. Let's go to John 17. Do you know here this, we are going to have this indictment here. Look at John 17. Here Jesus Christ prayed for his own. This word spake Jesus and lift up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This is life eternal. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You see how Jesus prayed? And people read this verse, cannot even believe that there is but one God, that there is a Trinity, something is wrong. Verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. Believe in God, believe in Jesus. For that is whom God sent. To show eternal life. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gave me. Huh? This is the work of Jesus Christ. What he came to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gave me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gave them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words, that is the saying, the teaching, which thou hast given me. And they have received them, and have known surely I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine. You know, Jesus didn't pray for the world. And yet, some people say, pray for the peace of the world. The world will never have peace. You can pray as hard as you want to. You have already missed the will of God. Do you think the world will have peace? No. Until that Lord's prayer is fulfilled. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When the kingdom comes, then there will be peace. Don't try to pray for peace in the world. You won't have. Pray for the peace in your own heart. Huh? And he says here, verse 10. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorifying them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom thou gave me, that whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou hast given me, I have kept. And none of them is Lord, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now, I come to thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, thy revelation, thy logos. You understand? And the world have hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from evil. Yeah, sometimes when we are upset, when we are in a bad shape, say, Lord, take me home. Lord, take me out of this world. Lord, take me out. Get me out of this situation. But the Lord Jesus said, now, I didn't ask you, Lord, to take them out. But you keep watch over them. And he said, right? Keep them from the evil one. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy logos is truth. Thy revelation is truth. Alright? As thou hast sent me into the world, even so also I send them into the world. For they are sick, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified to the truth. Neither pray I for this alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their revelation. Now we are the one that is a product of the apostolic ministry, yeah? Of these apostles. They went out after the resurrection and ascension of Christ. You see. So what Christ has imparted to them, they imparted to the people whom they witnessed to. And verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, in me, and I indeed, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gave me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be perfect in one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me, and has loved them as thou hast loved me. So now what we see here, in this prayer, Jesus Christ has declared three things. The work that he had finished. The work that he had done. The word that he had declared to his disciple. And he has declared the name of God. These are the three things that we must never forget. This was the final prayer of Jesus Christ when he came and he brought it to the Lord. Concerning the work that he is finishing up. The work, the word, and the name. How important therefore are the ordinances of God to us then? Romans 6 verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we were being planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Water baptism. We know what water baptism signifies. The three ordinances. The importance of keeping them. But we all have gone through water baptism for those who have believed. But you know, how important it is to say here that if we are dead with Christ in water baptism, then we should live in newness of life with him. When we go into water baptism, we're going as a sinner. Being saved by grace and water baptism removed our sin. When we resurrect out of water, we come out of water, it shows the newness of life, a resurrection to a new life. The importance of putting on that name that Jesus prayed cannot be overemphasized, because without that name, we wouldn't know
our true living God. Because it was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah, he needs to be Emmanuel, God with us. And the angel told Mary, you shall call his name Yahshua. So the name is identified to us. That's why when we go into water baptism, we are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in a triune title. And that's an evil thing. And Christians went into water baptism in that triune title, not knowing where on earth that came from, but believing that it was with a good intention, of course, that they perceived from their pastor or theologian or their denomination. From the book of Matthew 28, verse 19. And so they took that in the water baptism. And it's important for us to have Jesus pray. He says, I have given them your word. They have received your revelation. And you know what? We all receive the revelation, therefore we keep it. That's why it's so important for us to believe in it. And testify of it and witness of it. Well, you know, I have friends in denomination who knows this truth. Even those that have been baptized, even in Malaysia when I went to Penang. The well-known evangelist now who had committed fornication. Took all the money that he had, millions of dollars, and disappeared and went over to Australia. Baptize him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn around and say, that's not important. That's not the issue. And the issue to him, he began to fight against Brother Branham's doctrine. And he thinks that he's smart, he's clever, and says the woman preacher is okay. Or else God would not have Catherine Kuhlman being a preacher. Did God call her to be a preacher in the first place? Even the testimony of Brother Stephen Shelley. He came from a Pentecostal background. The grandmother, she was a preacher. And when the grandmother came to the message also, and you know, Brother Stephen Shelley told her, he said, you know what, when you are a woman preacher, all those things boil down to nothing. And grandma said, yeah, I know, it boils down to nothing now. It comes to nothing. But today they condoned woman preacher. And that's an evil thing also. Do you see that thing? But they can come around and baptize themselves in the name of Jesus Christ, and after not accepting the truth continually and walk in the light, they say it's okay. Whether you're baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, or in the name of Jesus Christ, that's okay. And then they will say, even pouring water, that's okay. Even sprinkling, that's okay. It's not okay. Anything that contradicts the word of God is evil. And to say those things are okay, then it is okay, then it is good. And you delight in those things, you face the judgment of God. You know, in this entire message, we have some believers that acted so well. Acted so sweet. Always quoting Brother Branham and all the good things, you know, to say. You know, Brother Branham said a lot of good things. He never speak bad against these Trinitarian ministers that he know. Huh? But when he's in the pulpit, he'll speak against those error. And then people come around and say, oh, Brother Branham said, you know, you cannot take, I mean, when you eat the pie, take the pie, and when you bite upon a bone, a chicken bone, throw away the chicken bone. But don't throw away the whole pie. We all know that, don't we? And all good things about being said. And we have some of these believers saying things like that, and then move around and say, oh, you know, it's okay with this brother, it's okay with this brother, let you know. And they can continue to hold on to all those errors. And they'll propagate those errors. But let me tell you the truth, brothers and sisters. Errors and truth cannot mix. You cannot mix them.
You cannot mix black and white together and that the white remains white. It can't. Huh? And the black will no longer be black as it is. And that's a compromise. And God hates that. Titus 3 verse 5. Not by works of his general of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So remember this now. You are saved by what? By a process. Washing. Cleansing. Of regeneration. Renewing. Of rebirth. And renewing of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is in you working in your life to renew us, to renew you. And when the work is finished, then you are saved. Then you are born again. That's why some people can be a Christian and not born again. They say they are a Christian, but they're not born again. And some of us, I believe, especially children among us who are raised up with us, adults who have certain experience, because they are with us as our children, we raise them up. Sometimes they grow up, come into church, they learn, in their teen, they grow into their teen, into late teen, and you know, they just accept themselves, I'm a Christian. Until the children realize about their relationship with God, until they are aware that they are born again, they will just continue not knowing where they are. That's why it's important that the children of yours, you need to ask them, make them to realize all about the gospel, about them being a sinner in Christ, being the Savior, there must be a relationship and they need to come to that stage. Do you understand that? And yet many people are going through a state of washing of regeneration. Until one day they realize, I realize what it is all about, I'm safe. And not realizing they were safe all the time. That is also the case. You know. Somebody sent me an email and asked me, "Brother Gunn, is it possible for a 7-year-old boy to get baptized? Because the boy is going to water baptism in his church. Is it possible for him?" I said, "Well, if he, the boy, is matured and you know he comes to the place where he realized, yes, 7 years old, yes, possible. Do you know that? Yes. They are young at 7 years old to realize that, oh Jesus, you're so wonderful. I know I'm a sinner, and no, you know they are matured enough to get quicker to know. It's not unusual. Foot washing. You know foot washing? Why are churches not doing foot washing? Many churches don't do foot washing. I don't know how many churches in Singapore actually in the denomination practices foot washing. Or keep the ordinance. Because the Lord told the church of Israel to keep the ordinance. They have kept their past over. In which of course our communion came from. Foot washing that they have was not an ordinance. Huh? It was just a regular practice in their country because we're dirty. But why was not such a respect? And the Catholic Church said, "Oh yeah, we practice foot washing." Did they? But you know, our Pope washes the feet. Oh yeah, that's all big advertisement. All these big political issues show the world. Oh, how humble the Pope is, you know. Coming out there, you know. And all the stuff. You know how the Pope is looking thing? How the religiousness, the aura of the religiousness appear on the stage when he comes out. With all that purple robe, the red robe, and the tall hat, and the staff, the crucifix staff, in his hand. It looks very really good, doesn't it? Just like Moses, you see in the movie, Ten Commandments, white beard, with the sticks, coming over there, robe. And we say, it looks awesome, man. One day, maybe I should have grow out my beard. And I dress up in them with the star coming ahead in the church.
You know, we think different.
You see, it's the appearance that acted like this. And everybody, oh, the Pope was washing the feet. Oh, my. You know, and so, there was one time, there was not this Pope, not the other Pope. I don't know which Pope it was, back in the 80s anyway. I don't know which Pope was one. Anyway, here was this, he was having some kind of meetings. You know, Pope go to a certain city, some big thing. So they have a meeting down there, and Pope is going to say something, or going to bless the people, or pray for the people, whatever. So there was this doctor who was having some patient of his, and there was this patient they wanted to be prayed for. He said, oh, can you will me, take me to this cathedral, you know, the meeting place where the Pope is. I want to be blessed by him. So this doctor was working overtime, was tired, so took the patient in the vehicles, whatever, he bring to me to the church and wheel him to the place where there was a queue of people, you know, afflicted people, wheelchair, or maybe sick people, you know, old people. They want to be blessed by the Pope. So this person got up from the wheelchair, he was maybe a thing or five pieces, whatever, went in and wait inside. Oh, the doctor was so tired. Sat on the wheelchair and went to sleep. Sat on the wheelchair and went to sleep. And then, you know, after a while, you see, there were nuns all around. Looking, oh, okay, here, take the wheel. Push him, wheel him into the meeting place. So as he was wheeling, he was so soundly asleep. Wheeling him. And all of a sudden, because of the noise, the Pope happened to come by and pray for him. So he was already having all this going on. He said, he woke up, and what you see on the wheelchair, and then he got down and walked up. Everybody thought, oh, the Pope did a miracle. The Pope did a miracle. You know, he was in the paper, you know. Oh my, the doctor was so embarrassed. So he clarified later on. You see, that's, well, you know, very embarrassed. But what about Pope washing is something that we must remember. It's not just the Pope trying to have a religious a show put on. Huh? And Pope washing is something that, as an ordinance, that we should keep and do. Okay, let's go on to the verse, John 13. John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that the hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And having eaten, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, that he was come from God, went to God, he rise from supper, laid aside his garment, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and wiped them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then come he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus said unto him, what I do you not know not now, but thou shalt know afterward. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I wash you not, thou have no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed need not except to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. And he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garment and was set aside down again, and was set down again, he said to them, know you know what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, so am I. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I've done to you. Very, very, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. We do it because Jesus said it. He commanded it. Not because the denomination said, oh, no, they're just means to serve one another. Yeah, then go on your knees and wash. But that is an act of humility. We can easily say that we serve one another, but it's one thing with the word. But just put our feet down and do that, and then he remembers, oh yeah, the brother's feet. I need to go and, you know, serve him. He's in time of his need. or a sister. You know. But you bend down your knees when somebody is sitting, you are humbling yourself because you are lower than the person whom you washed, whose feet you washed. And you always remember that you have done that. And when that brother is in need, you remember that you have done it, and therefore you need to serve. That's a reminder for you also. Amen? 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 9 to 10. Here Paul talks about the widow. Huh? Those, the widow who have washed the same seed. So you can see from here that it is being practiced. Is that right? In verse 10. 1 Timothy 5:10. So it is important that it's not just what was being said by Christ we just mean to serve one another, not to really wash feet. No, it is not true. Because this verse proved that that this widow washed the saints' feet. Right? Communion. Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. Here is the first communion. Remember that. Genesis 14, verse 17 to 10, to 19. And the king of Sodom went out to meet Abraham after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and all the king that were with him at the valley of Shavah, which is the king's deal. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and he said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which have delivered thy enemy into thy hand. And Abraham gave him tithes of all. Now, this is the first part of it. This is the first time the communion was conducted. And if you think the communion is not important, it is important. And the Bible says he brought forth bread and wine. And not cracker biscuit and Ribena juice. Huh? Bread and wine, not cracker biscuit. And grape juice, no. The denomination can argue about yayin and all those Hebrew words and the Greek words and all these things and say they are not fermented wine. That is not true. They say it is freshly squeezed grape juice. Then it was never called wine. And I said this many times, take a glass and squeeze fresh juice on the cup and put it on the table. For 1 hour and see what happens. Remember the Passover table? They were all unleavened. Huh? Nothing leavened was on the table. And they had to prepare it for the Passover that will be slain. The table must be really prepared. And so you think that the wine is not wine and freshly squeeze grape juice. Do you think they have refrigerator in those days? Huh? How then do they keep the grape juice fresh? You think about it. And the moment the grape juice is squeezed, you know, fermentation set in, bacteria, especially in Israel. And when is the time of the Passover? What month was it? April. And what is it? It's summertime. Isn't it? Or springtime. The weather is warm. Do you see that? So, whatever they say, you know, it's just a traditional thing. They try to protect. They will not admit that they are wrong. But here Melchizedek brought fresh, brought forth bread and wine. And had communion with Abraham. And Abraham gave him tithes of all. Chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. Here you have the three angels, or the three messengers, who will say, we use that word. The Bible said, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plain of Marah, and he sat in the door, tendor, in the heat of the day. Now it's the heat of the day. When it's hot out there, you don't go inside the room, in the tent. You want to sit outside where there is some breeze. It's hot. And so he had pinned three messengers. Abraham knew who they were. He says, My Lord, come. Stay a while. If you please come, stay a while. Let me wash your feet. Verse 4. Let me wash your feet. So you see that? It's a common thing. Let me wash your feet. And let me bring forth morsel of bread and comfort your heart. And let me bake you some meat. Well, of course, there's no mention of wine here in the place because they're out there in the heat. And nobody drink wine in the heat of the day anyway. The wine they usually serve not in the morning also. Remember? It's always in the evening. And especially when you have wedding, they always serve it in the evening. So people get to drink a little wine, let the stomach relax, they go to sleep. Alright? So here you see the communion there with Abraham once again. And now let's go to Malachi, chapter 3. Here is a question. Will a man rob God? Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 12. Will a man rob God? You have robbed me. But he said, wait, have you robbed you? In tithes and offering. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may meet in my house. And prove me now here, we said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, said the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, said the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout. Now right there. You have brought me in tithes and offering. And those days, of course, when they give their offerings to the Lord, is their sheep, their goats, their cattle, the fruits of the land, their harvest. In those days, money is not a thing. And that somebody was trying to, a believer who was trying to say that, oh, we don't have to give tithes and offering now because we're not under the law. And for that matter, he said that in those days when they give their tithes and offering, they give only the animals and the fruit and the fruit produced. And he said today that she's trying to say that, well, because you earn money, you don't have to give. Because you don't have animals. You don't have sheep. You don't have cattle. That kind of reason. You understand? And God says, I'll bless your land. And now that you earn, I'll bless your career. I'll bless what comes into your hand. I'll bless whatever you do. You know what I mean? Your job. I'll bless you. And people will call you blessed. Because of the blessing that God has bestowed upon you. And you know one thing about that? As I said, God has a law. He never changed. And when he told Israel to give a tenth of what they have to the Levite, when the Levite got it, they give a tenth as a wave offering to God. Now, as I said this before, when they have sheep, they drove all the sheep into a corral or whatever, a gate, and all the sheep were going. First sheep, come out, that's God. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Go back to their pen. Number 11 belongs to God. You know what I mean? The first 10 is always taken out for the Lord. Whether it's a fat sheep or the skinny one, whatever, it goes to God. And you know what? What of God says over here in this same book, you give me a sick offering. You pick and choose. Huh? Now between Isaiah and Nathan, sometime when the father gives you a piece of cake and he slices into one big one small, which one will you take? Oh, I take the big one, give a small one to the brother. You know what I mean? Oh, get a piece that has more chocolate. Their piece of no chocolate. You see, that's what Israel were doing. We are picky. They are picky. They chose out the sick and give it to God, and that's an offering. And some even refuse to give. You know the law of tithing? In the book of Leviticus, go to the book of Leviticus now, the last chapter of the book of Leviticus. The tithes, there is a law, the last chapter of Leviticus, which is chapter 27. Verse 31. If a man would at all redeem all of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. Wow. The fifth part. A fifth part means 20%. you give 20% plus the month's 10%. That's the law, you know that. Huh? And that's why some, you know what, some people, I know this thing happened in the past, it's terrible, but they are ministers that misappropriate God's money. They want to take a loan from God's tithes and offering. Hey, God's church is not a bank. You cannot borrow money from God. Do you understand that? All the money that you give to the church goes to a fund, right? I have no right to say, I want to borrow this. If I can do that, you also can do that. Hey, Brother God, you know, I need $10,000. You think I can borrow from the bank, from the church money? You can't! Do you understand that? And God will never change on this. But you know, people say, we are being God's, we're under grace, you know what I mean? We're under grace. But you know, many times make God a disgrace. That's why those people who don't give their tithe regularly comes under debt. They always find themselves in a big problem with money. If you really have no money, continue to give a tithe. Ask a brother or sister to help. You know what I mean? What belongs to God? Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Help can be a, you know, just humble yourself, ask a brother or sister, you know, I need somebody, can you, you know? But don't always try to do anything to God's things that belongs to Him. We've got to honor our Father. We've got to honor Him and give to Him what belongs to Him. You see? Lastly, the other things that we have that God says were not happy with us is that our testimony we don't give. Sometimes you got testimony, you don't say. Your friends, you don't witness to. Huh? We need to be. The Bible says we are all witnesses. And yet many of us don't witness about the truth that we have in our working place, in the school, we don't talk to them about Jesus Christ. Because you're shy or whatever. He that wins soul, the Bible says, is wise. At least in your lifetime, bring a soul to the Lord. That's why when I was young, 7, 12 years old, when I came to the Lord, I became a soul winner. I went out there, ministered the word of God. Brought a lot of people to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you bring one person to the Lord, that person can bring others to the Lord too. That's why that brother whom we know was now in the Presbyterian church, when he got a heart attack, he went to the hospital with 3 bypass. You know, he sent me a card and he told me that he was in the hospital. I went to see him, you know. And he thanked me anyway. In his car, he wrote me, he said, "Brother, I'm so glad, Sir Richard, that you brought me to the Lord Jesus. Because of that, my whole family now they are Christian." You see. And through the family, it continued to be bringing forth the gospel. You just take one soul. That's why the Bible talks about personal witnessing. It's more powerful than someone standing in the crusade and preach to a bunch of people out there. Personal witnessing. You just take one, the person is convicted, he's strong, he'll bring others. Alright? Verse 13 to 15. Now let's close with that. The last indictment. "Your word has been stout against me," said the Lord. "Yet you say, where have we spoken so much against you? You have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept this ordinance, His ordinances, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy? Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered." What profit? It is vain to serve the Lord. It is vain to serve the Lord. What profit is there to gain? Some people even think, to be a Christian, I must give 10% of my salary to God. That's not worth it. You know, that's their thinking. See? Remember Henry Ford? Ford Motors? The testimony is so well known. Young boy, started off working, earned a dollar, give God a dime, 10 cents, every time you go to Sunday school. Grew up, he had a better job as a clerk or something, you earn 100, those times of money are big. You give $10 to God. He worked in Ford in a motor company or something. Then he got 1,000. He gave 100. Then he became the owner or something of this big Ford motor company. And he earned so much. One day he wrote a check. There was a big amount. I can't remember whether it was 10,000 or something. He looked at the check. So that's a lot of money to give to the Lord.
You know, he was mainly thinking, my goodness, that's a lot of money. You know, he was convicted when the Spirit of God spoke to his heart. Say, Henry boy, what you want to give me a dollar? I can give you a job, then just give me a dollar. Back to $10 you earn, you give me a dollar. Huh? When God prosper you, why are you complaining? You see the point? So, that's the thing. People say all kinds of words, and oh, it's vain to serve the Lord, there's no profit, this and that. But that's not true.
Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometime darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Walk as children of the light. When we're in darkness, we don't know any truth. Because we don't know no truth, we walk according to our own wisdom, our own carnal reasoning, our own intellect. But now that we have the light, let us walk in the light. We have the truth, we walk in the truth. Baptism, you are to be baptized, no problem. But testify of that what you have to be true. Communion, let us keep the Lord's table. Remember Him, of His death till He comes. Huh? And of the tithes and offering which belongs to God. Don't reason with it. Whether big or small, that you want to keep it or whatever it is, belongs to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Because where your heart is, your treasures be. And the Lord will bless. And I know He will. Don't speak any stout word against the Lord. Don't say anything that contradicts His word. Take a step of truth and maintain it. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the word, Lord. They have spoken, Father, that our minds may recollect the things that we have learned of You. Bringing these things to remembrance, O Father, how important it is that we do as Thou required of us, the keeping of the ordinances, the keeping of Your word, the commandments and the law of grace that given us, so far blessed we make it a disgrace. How privileged we were as we are, Father, as a people living in this hour. That Thou have unfolded, O God, all this hidden mystery to us, Father, and bring to light, O God, the hidden things to our blessing. And we thank You, Father, for this. And help us, therefore, Lord, to strengthen us and keep us as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, have so prayed, Lord. You keep us while we are in this world. Strengthen us, O Lord, with the strength of Thy Spirit, Father, in health, and also, Father, in the wisdom of Thy Word, that we be a good testimony, O God, of the grace that is shown to us, Father. We thank You, Lord. Bless the children. Even as they come fellowship here, growing the grace of the Lord, Lord, that Your Spirit begin, continue to work in them, and that, Father, they come to the place of revelation, of the conviction, Father, that they truly have repented, that they are a child of God, that they have this personal relationship with You, Father. And we pray for others that are around the world, who send in their requests, Father, for their own children. We know how it is, Father, when we have children, and the children, O Father, are going astray. It grieves us, Lord. Because we know that when we've done things wrong, we grieve away from You. We know that it grieves You too as much. So, Father, we ask that You bless all of these children of ours, Father, loved ones, not only in this fellowship, but all over the world, the children that are Yours, Father. We ask for Your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.